Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about,
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about,
Not again.
Oh. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, tell me what you thought about Double Dragon.
It was a 90s video game movie that starred Alyssa Milano.
This is all accurate information that you've given.
And that's the highlight.
Nope. I'm afraid you're wrong. We'll get into it. For all of you joining, welcome. Welcome, welcome. This is You Want Me to Watch What? Podcast of Justin and I sharing movies that have escaped the other one for reasons or another. And now we get to talk about them. So today we are talking about that great 94. That great 1994 hit, Double Dragon. Not the worst video game movie out there.
True.
And I'll give you at least two reasons why at the end.
Okay.
But we start with we start with an attack on some village somewhere where a lady with a whip and igniting my, you know, teenage fantasies helps steal a dragon pendant. Well, half of a dragon pendant. Then move into the modern, you know, New Angeles because an earthquake destroyed Southern California. We knew it was going to happen. Altering everything and leaving New Angeles in shambles after the federal government basically utterly failed to help restore order or rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk politics. We'll just keep on going.
Yeah.
So, enter Koga Shuko. Man, this guy's in everything.
He is.
You know, there's actually a scene later on in the police captain's house where he's eating Koga Shuko's, where it's the cereal.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Koga Shuko, he wants the Double Dragon. That's the name of the medallion. It's two halves, one medallion. He wants it. He gets one half, and he orders the henchman to get the other half. Shift again to teenage brothers Billy and Jimmy Lee and their friend slash pseudo mom. I don't know.
Guardian.
Satori. Guardian. They're in a martial arts tournament that they lose because one guy cheats and then another guy gets caught cheating. And we find something that they play up that's going to be important. And then suddenly isn't important. That of aftershocks. There's aftershocks because of the great big earthquake. Mm-hmm. And they have manual hydraulic jacks that are used to support the buildings when there's aftershocks. And it is the most ridiculous, silly thing ever.
Oh, yeah.
But it's late and they need to get home from this martial arts tournament that they've just lost. Unfortunately, it's after dark. And after dark are when the police go home.
After curfew, yeah.
Because the gangs took over that 7 years ago or whatever it was that the big old earthquake happened. The gangs started taking over. And so the police department basically made a deal. You stay in your holes during the day and you only come out at night. And we'll just leave each other alone. Wow.
Yeah.
The only gang that seems to be trying to do anything to help are the Power Corps, a group of vigilantes headed by Marion, the daughter of the police chief, also played by Alyssa Milano. And yeah, she very 90s Alyssa Milano.
Yeah.
All right. So they're racing home in their station wagon, which has like a furnace in it. Like, it doesn't run on gas. It just runs on whatever they can burn.
Yep.
Including a can of Cheese Whiz That was fun.
Yeah.
And they're being chased by Bo Abobo.
Gesundheit.
I don't remember this guy's, the actor's name. All I remember is he was also in The Mask with Jim Carrey. He was one of the henchmen at the end that looks really confused after they, like, shoot Jim Carrey a whole bunch. Like, he looks really confused. Like, that's the only thing I know this guy from other than this movie. I'm sure he's been in more. He's probably a very well-regarded actor. But these two things are what I know him from.
Yes.
Being a stupid, roided-up gang leader and being a dim-witted henchman to a gangster in The Mask. Anyway, Bo Abobo discovers that Satori, the guardian, has the second half of the medallion, reports it to Shuko, but because he didn't get it back, Shuko does science experiments on him.
Yes.
We don't know what this means yet. Just that it's a big deal. So, now we get back to the theater, because the theater is where Billy and Jimmy and the lady's name, Satori, where they live. And she explains the double dragon. It needs to be protected. One side is the mind side, and the other side is the body side, and we need to protect it, and immediately hands it to Billy. Just in time for Shuko and his henchmen to show up, intent to get it, they fail, but they do end up burning down the theater with Satori inside of it. Really dark for a 90s kids movie.
Mm-hmm.
Unable...
To be fair, it was less burning down the building and blowing it up.
Yes.
So...
That is true.
Big explosion equals okay for kids.
Although that did, I think, wasn't it from that point that it leads into the big boat chase?
Eventually, yes.
Yeah, big boat chase on, well, it's in New Angeles, but it actually was in Ohio. Like, it was in the Cleveland River. Fun fact, the explosion at the end of that, despite telling literally everybody in Cleveland for like 10 days, hey, there's going to be a big explosion, enough people didn't hear it or didn't pay attention that when it happened, it broke 911 for about an hour with people calling to report it.
Lovely.
Now, their guardian mom is dead. They've got this thing. They can't use it. They need help, the two boys. And so they're going to try and find Power Core because they figure with Marion's help, they can either protect the double dragon medallion or they can get the other one. Either way, Koga Shuko is bad news and they need to figure out what to do. So they're going to steal his half the medallion and they don't. They fail. There is a whole lot of really cool kids. Like, if you were a kid in the 90s, it was cool. Scenery here of a bunch of teens running into an office building and just causing all kind of madcap nonsense in order to completely befuddle the inept security guards. Hey, kids, you can't be in here skateboarding. Because skateboarding was cool.
Because, you know, the 90s.
Yeah. Ultimately, they fail to get the medallion, and Jimmy's captured in the process. Oh, no! Billy and Marion get back to Power Core, and they lament, nothing's worked. We haven't been able to figure out how to use our double dragon piece. You know, everything's just bad. And then things get worse. Because now all of the gangs have been united because Koga Shuko has money.
Mm-hmm.
And money unites the gangs. Also, he was able to take over the body of one of the... That's what his half the medallion does, is like lets him take over bodies. And when he took over the body of another gang leader, and that kind of helped his case.
Yeah.
So they all attack Power Core. Power Core gets beaten senseless. Billy has to fight his brother, who is also being mind-controlled or possessed by Koga Shuko. And he defeats him. He knocks Koga Shuko out of his brother, but then he just lets the medallion lay on the ground. And so Koga Shuko gets both pieces, and instead of just being really strong and cool and powerful, he turns into two shadow warrior things. I can't quite describe them, but I think Shadow Warrior things is close enough.
Yeah.
They have to fight it. Eventually, they're able to overpower it because Boa Bobo had been captured and reformed. And he reminds everyone that Kogashuko does not like light. And so the power core, they have generators, hence power, I guess. And they start the lights. That causes, you know, the Shadow Warriors to be weak. And Billy and Jimmy attack, and they get the two double dragon halves. They combine the two pieces, which gives them matching uniforms. Very nice.
Bedazzled and everything.
Bedazzled and everything. And they briefly get to see a vision of, you know, Guardian Mommy's ghost as she gives them some encouraging words and says, go kick his butt. And so the brothers then pummel Koga. Jimmy then possesses him because Jimmy was possessed. So it's just fair.
Yeah.
To make Kogashuko do embarrassing things. And eventually the police show up because at one point the police chief was embarrassed that his daughter was doing his job for him. And despite a really empowering and inspiring speech to all the other cops, he went out by himself. But don't worry, all the other cops will show up after the danger's passed.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy, having possessed Kogashuko, writes a check out to the police department for $100-something million. Before encouraging the chief to arrest him, Shuko goes to jail. Jimmy gets out of him. You know, police department has renewed strength to fight the gangs. And Billy and Jimmy now get to protect the double dragon. And then Boa Bobo drives them away.
Yes.
Credits. Now, so our actors in it are, we have Billy. That was Scott Wolf, who folks might know as Bailey Salinger from Party of Five. At one point, he was actually engaged to Alyssa Milano.
Hmm.
Jimmy's played by Mark Dacascos. He is the chairman for Iron Chef America.
Cool. Okay, I didn't know that.
So Marion was played by Alyssa Milano, who is, of course, Samantha Michelli of Who's the Boss. And for people who aren't that old, she was Phoebe Halliwell of Charmed.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not that old, I can't help you. Kogashuko was played by Robert Patrick, who is the T-1000 of Terminator 2 fame.
Yep.
Satori was played by Julian Nixon, which you haven't seen the second Rambo movie yet.
No.
But she was Rambo's love interest in the second Rambo movie. Or if you watch the Chuck Norris film masterpiece Sidekicks, she was Noreen Chan.
Ah, yes, Sidekicks.
And then, of course, Linda Lash, the whip lady,
mm-hmm.
Christina Wagner. She was Felicia Jones Scorpio on General Hospital for a whopping 635 episodes. So, now I'm going to say what's good about this. Because there's good.
Well, before you do that, let's not forget the stellar performance by George Hamilton.
He is one of the things in the good here.
Okay.
George Hamilton, Vanna White, and Andy Dick get to be themselves as news people, warning us of acid rain, which was apparently a big deal in the 90s.
Yeah. What I find funny is on the IMDb page, Hamilton and Vanna White are listed as, you know, themselves. Andy Dick is Smogcaster. So it was...
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So, other good things in it, the boat chase, which went on a little bit too long, but the explosion at the end looked wonderful.
It did. I will admit that, yeah.
The explosion looked good. It's Robert Patrick, the villain, Kogashuko. I have never seen a movie where the villain acted this hammy, was going for it so hard.
Yeah.
That didn't also feature either Tim Curry or Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
And it is just amazing to watch. Because when he's doing it is so over the top. It is so over the top that Stallone made a movie about it and had to change it to arm wrestling to make it more believable.
Yeah.
And it was so over the top that Stallone actually had to go back in time to do it. So this is just amazing, because then when you, like, Jimmy is possessing Robert Patrick's body, Koga Shugo's body, you're watching, it's not, he's not really possessing him clearly. And so they got Robert Patrick and said, okay, here's what we want you to do. We want you to act like a coked out, silly Nickelodeon teen. And just really, really go after it. And he did.
He did. My goodness.
In The Bad, Boa Bobo's character model after the scientific experiments that turned him into what I can only generously describe as an overstuffed German sausage in pants.
Yes.
I mean, ew. So gross.
Yeah, it was not pleasing to the eyes.
And then there is no ugly. Everything else is just silly. Literally everything else is silly. And I love it. I don't want to watch it over and over, but I love it. Because it...
Okay.
Because it's just... It is absolutely capturing that mid-90s flair. You know, where everything's super bright. You know that everything's going to be okay. You know, the danger things that happen. It's like, how can they make this weirder? You know, where the Power Corps headquarters looks like every single kid's interpretation of the turtle sewers.
Yeah.
With the graffiti and the skateboards and the weird couches.
Yeah.
But we're not here just to listen to me. Talk to me about your experience.
So, first off, while watching the credits roll, a very particular name popped up, and it made me do a double take. The story was written by Paul Dini.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Paul Dini is one of the writers on Batman the Animated Series and a very renowned comic book writer. But above his name in the screenplay category were two other chuckleheads. And so something tells me Paul Dini came up with this story, and then these two other guys took it and said, yeah, it's great. What can we do to make it suck a little bit more? I had a hard time watching this, and I love bad movies. This didn't quite cross the threshold of so bad it's good. This was just, okay, it's got moments, and you're right. Pattinson's performance was good. It was hammy, and I loved it. It was good. But there was just so many other things that it almost looked like, it felt like a high school production of something. Where you
all right,
you have some really talented actors who know what they're doing and are trying their best, and then you have other actors who are just there, and this, it just, I had a hard time with it.
I would put Robert Pattinson's, you know, but it's so much better than like Dennis Hopper's King Koopa. Which,
oh,
came out the year before.
Absolutely.
That being said, I would rather have had Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo as the Double Dragon brothers. No hate to Scott Wolf. You know, no hate
no
to
either of them.
To Mark Dacascos. It's just, man, that would have been so much funnier.
So, another thing that bugged me, it's two things in one scene.
Right.
At the end, when the Lees get the medallion and combine it, and, you know, they gain the powers of the Double Dragon, one, their outfits did not need to be sequency bedazzled.
Well, did they?
It didn't look like they were on the poster, okay? I get it. One red, one blue, matching, very superhero-ish. It looked a little too flashy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an aesthetic choice. The second thing that bugged me was, they both depowered Koga Shugo, combined the medallions, became powerful, and then used it to beat up a depowered Koga Shugo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, No, you use that to defeat the big evil bad, not the big bad who's been depowered and is now, you know, quote, normal.
He has the power of money. Like, he was like Batman by that point. You need the double dragon to beat Batman.
I'm going to circumvent that comment completely.
Why? I mean, Kogashuko, super rich, obviously damaged, martial artist, you know, charismatic to a fault. Yep.
Yeah, but Batman didn't need the double dragon to get the power. He had
wasn't there a whole storyline where like he had the proto venom from Bane, like where he started taking steroids?
Yes, and he eventually badly for Batman.
It was bad news for Batman, and you know, there's no guarantee that Kogashuko wouldn't have eventually realized, you know, I either need to use this stuff for good or this is no good for me.
We've gotten off topic.
Have we? Or have we gotten exactly on topic for what is ultimately a really bad video game movie that is still, at least for me, fun to watch because it's so bad? But which is not for you.
It did have its moments. I did enjoy the joke about the Lee brothers, you know, Ugh and Home.
Mm-hmm.
Ugly, homely. That was funny.
I liked the joke with Huey and Lewis.
Huey and Lewis, that
the,
was good.
The twin henchmen who show up, you know, both popping a piece of gum in their mouth. Huey, they Lewis, like, any news?
Yeah. There was a Who's the Boss reference.
Oh, yeah.
Because, of course, there was.
I liked the Huey and Lewis's signs at the end of the thing, too.
Will Hinch for food. Okay, this movie had absolute moments of, okay, that was funny.
Yeah.
But overall,
I readily admit, overall, this is, it's a bad movie. Here's when it's good. When you get a group of friends and you're all drinking and you're all making fun of it.
You know, so that was my problem. I was alone and sober.
Well, I mean, you couldn't know. You'd not seen it before.
That's true.
But this is something that, like, you, me, and Darren get together, and we turn on the mic, and we record our very own commentary track to this.
Imagine a double feature with Double Dragon and Street Fighter.
Ooh, another one of my favorite comic book video game movies.
And honestly, that movie is only palatable because of Raul Julia.
Agreed. Also, in my lineup of video game movies that it's like, I also liked the first Mortal Kombat.
I haven't seen it in a long time, but I have not horrible
I liked it for the soundtrack more than I liked it for the movie.
Fair.
Because at the time, like, techno was starting to make it into my lineup. But so this is my conditional. Go ahead and watch it. Watch it for free. You know, don't pay money to watch it. And make sure that every now and again you're getting up to go to the bathroom, check the laundry. You know, get a snack. You don't want to put yourself in a dark room and just watch this one. This is not a cinematic masterpiece. It is a silly bit of 90s history that probably started filming right after Super Mario Brothers, you know, finished. And they're like, man, video game movies are going to be the next thing. And so they just jumped right into it and didn't think about it.
No.
You know, it would be a while before video game movies got anything close to resembling quality. This is not one of them. But it is a lot brighter than the Mario movie.
We're still in beta. Video. It's beta testing for video game movies.
So, yeah, it's a conditional. See, if you got good friends and you know that you can laugh at a bad movie, Absolutely. If you don't have good friends, God help you.
Yeah.
Hit us up on the Discord. You know, we won't watch the movie with you, but we'll at least, you know, talk and listen and be silly.
Yeah. And I agree. Watch it with friends. Watch it with friends.
Awesome. So that means I think that it's your turn.
Yes. And I have something completely different.
Okay, then.
Hello, Meat Popsicles. Why don't you grab your multipass, a drink, and come sit with us?
Let's pick each other's brain. We want you to be part of our intimate conversation about science fiction topics.
Let's do this. Join us, and let's talk about science fiction topics in books, movies, TV shows, and games.
At Science Fiction Remnant, you are invited to listen in.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And don't forget your multipass.